When I was pastoring a small church in Kentucky, we hired a new pianist. She only knew one hymn. And that was it, the song that you sang. So we sang it, and we had these boards. Do you remember the number boards? And on top it was worship last week, Sunday school this week, right? Offering. And it was usually about $200, you know. And then there was a list of the hymns. First hymn, second hymn, third hymn. All the same. She finally learned a second song. And it was the other one that you sang. That was the two that she knew. It must have been around Easter or something. I don't know. But she learned those two songs. And so I couldn't help but to smile when you sang your special today. Those two songs were sung on a number of occasions at that little church. Oh, finally, she picked up a couple others. But we sang those over and over and over. So on this day, we tend to focus on the palms, don't we? More than we do the passion. This day, we focus on the palms. And palms suggest triumph and victory, right? And celebration. And we like that part of Palm Sunday. But Holy Week doesn't end with the palms. It ends with the passion. And so on this day, we recognize both. But the passion part of the story, we don't really like to talk about it. Growing up, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and as you know, in the Catholic Church, there is on the cross Jesus, the crucifix. When I became Protestant, I was told our cross has no Jesus. We don't like the passion of Christ. We celebrate the resurrection. And so Jesus isn't on the cross. Right? But what about the passion? Could you have the resurrection if you didn't have the passion? The irony of Palm Sunday is how it ends. I mean, it ends with a fizzle. It's not a sparkle. Begins with this elaborate story of securing a colt. Jesus parading into Jerusalem on this colt and the crowds hailing him. He enters the temple in triumph, and then curiously he looks around and leaves. But his day of victory doesn't end with a bang. That's the clue for us. Palm Sunday's meaning can only emerge as we observe what happens to Jesus during the rest of the week. And that's why it's so important for the people of God to not only come on this day and on Easter, but to also prepare themselves through the week. So let's go through it. The day begins with Jesus telling his disciples to go into the city, and they find a colt. And in the Bible, a colt is not a horse, but a donkey, a young donkey. If Jesus were to have conquered Jerusalem, he would have ridden in on what? A stallion. He would have ridden in like others who have ridden in. You see, this isn't the first time that they've had parades that have come into Jerusalem. In fact, the Romans had parades on a regular basis. Anytime anything was conquered, there was a parade. And great generals would ride through in chariots or stallions. And there would be the waving of palms and celebration just like this because a great general or a great person has come into our city who is a Roman conqueror. Or if a governor showed up, someone of importance came in, there would be a parade. So here we go, we're having a parade. And it's Jesus. And he's riding on a donkey. And the people were cheering and shouting and saying, "That ain't right." He's on a donkey. And they mimicked and laughed. Can you imagine? Doesn't it seem odd that Jesus would walk the 90 miles from Galilee to Bethany and then get a donkey for the final 2 miles into Jerusalem? Really? I mean, if you're going to borrow a donkey, shouldn't you have gotten it a lot earlier, Jesus? I mean, why are you getting it now? For the parade? He wasn't tired. I think instead it was careful planning on how he chose to enter into Jerusalem by observing every nuance of the biblical understanding of who the Messiah was. You see, Jesus fulfilled Zechariah 9:9. "Your king comes to you triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a colt." The foal of a donkey. The triumph of Jesus came not through might, but the triumph of Jesus came through service. And he tried to teach this to his disciples over and over and over again, didn't he? Even in the Passion Week on Maundy Thursday. Washing the disciples' feet and telling them that in order to fulfill and to be like Jesus, you need to humble yourself. Become a servant of all. We were talking about this in our Sunday school class, folks, and I think this is one of the hardest things. I don't see a lot of this in our world today, do you? Humility? Man, I just don't see it. And it's the little things, it's the humble things, it's the little things that make the difference in the world you live in. The little bits of humility that you show in your care and your love of others. And it exemplifies who you are as a Christian person. I was telling my wife and told my Sunday school class. We were walking into Walmart yesterday. Trying to find something I could eat. I got soup, you know. Chicken noodle. On the way in, we were headed for the door. You know, and there was another guy, and he was headed for the door. And you know what happened? He stopped. He looked at us, and he put his hand out, just like this. Just put his hand out. Now, he didn't have to do that, did he? He didn't have to do that. With a smile on his face. It's just kindness. It's saying, look, Just be nice to each other. And it's the everyday world, and you don't see a lot of kindness. Try driving on electric road. If you want... I got one time the double fingers, the double salute. I got two. I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. You're not even holding on to your steering wheel. You're able to flip me off with both hands. The double-handed salute. And I had to smile because I saw humor in that. He's got not just one, but two hands raised up because he wanted to make the point that he wasn't happy with me. Really? Huh? Maybe he was celebrating, both hands lifted up. Now, the problem was there was only one finger raised, so, yeah. No, it wasn't a celebration, and there was some real anger on his face. And, yeah. It was me and Chipper. Yeah, well, you know where you get off of 220 and you come on electric road and then you can turn right and merge into traffic, you know? Well, I merged, but I merged a little close, so he wasn't real happy with my merger. So he let me know about it. But really, humility, kindness, simple acts, just being nice to each other. And I think our world is missing some of that. Just humble yourself. Find ways of showing compassion for others. Simple things that you do. Jesus nears the city and the crowd calls out, "Hosanna." They're caught up in the moment. You know, Jesus is experiencing a groundswell of support right now. And Jesus probably could have done most anything, but he refuses to use his power for wrong. He could have. Jesus knew who he was, and that's important to see. Jesus knew who he was. And the Palm Sunday parade is a prelude to Good Friday. It's not an end in itself. The cross was the moment to which Jesus pointed his life, folks. It really was. Three times he announced his destiny. He defined it in this suffering servant. Three times the disciples listened to what he said. And yet they refused to hear him. They didn't want to hear it. And I can't help but wonder why. I mean, why this incredible ineptitude on their part? They didn't want to hear it. They had their scenario all worked out for Jesus, that marching on Jerusalem, driving out the Romans, setting up the throne of David, and when it happened, they were going to be on his cabinet, one on his right, one on his left. They had it all worked out, and their plan didn't include a cross. And they were living in these preconceived ideas, and they couldn't hear anything else. Perhaps they didn't hear because they wouldn't hear. They were satisfied. They were secure with the agenda. They weren't really interested in Jesus' agenda. They had their own. There was one group. There were three different groups within the disciples, and one group was the group called the Zealots. And Judas was a zealot. And the zealots believed. Now, there were other disciples that were different groups. Can you imagine this? They didn't exactly see eye to eye. But the zealots believed that the Romans, the only way that we were going to conquer the Romans was for them to be overthrown with a new king. And so the zealots would do everything they could. And this particular group were all the time trying to find ways where they could get rid of the Roman conquerors. And they would do whatever had to be done. And one of them, a disciple of Jesus, a zealot, was named Judas. And you do what you have to do right? But we know Jesus is going to be the new king. We know he will. And so even if we set him up, maybe he just needs a little push, a little shove, you know, get things rolling, right? And then everything falls into place the way it's supposed to fall into place, only it doesn't fall into place. And it doesn't go as planned, and it doesn't work out the way they thought it ought to work out. And so what happens to the disciples, including Peter? Yeah, they take off. And Judas didn't go the way he thought it was going to go. What happens when the worst thing happens? What do? What happens when the thing happens that you never thought was going to happen? That's not going to happen. What do? He wasn't supposed to die. He was supposed to become king. He told them, but they didn't listen. They didn't understand. They didn't see it that way. They couldn't. And we all look at these disciples and we say, those idiots, man, you know, they couldn't figure it out. And Jesus was telling them how things were going to turn out and the way that they were supposed to live, and they couldn't figure it out. Like we've got it all figured out, right? It's easy to look at others and say, oh, aren't they ignorant? Look at how they don't understand. Look at how they didn't see Jesus for who he really was. And how many times then do we make our own picture of who Jesus is? Let me just tell you something, folks. You can't put God in a box. And you can't put God in a grave. He'll break out. And as ineptitude as the disciples were, I would say we have a lot of growing ourselves to do. A lot of understanding as well. And might find ourselves more like the disciples than we would like to think. A little humility. Humble yourself. We don't have it all together either. We haven't got it all figured out either. And we're still working on it. That's why someone told me you never graduate from Sunday school. Did you realize that? You've never graduated. How many years have you been in Sunday school? and you've never graduated. I had one guy ask me one time, when am I going to graduate from Sunday school? Really, you'd think after all these years, we still don't understand it all. Never will. They had it all worked out for Jesus, and Jesus showed them a different way. He took up the towel, and that's just the prelude to the shocking event. Less than 24 hours later, the same Jesus would be suspended between heaven and earth with nails in his wrist and in his feet, with a crown of thorns on his head and his arms outstretched to take the punishment for the sins of the world. Do they get it? Oh, this is who I am. And unless you accept me for who I am, you have no part with me. He says, the cross that Jesus bore, the cross of service to the world, and whether we hear him or not, whether we like it or not, he still calls us to it. The cross reveals the other thing, the reality of sin. Evil's reality is evident in that the only people close to Jesus who were with him when he died was his disciple John and a few women, including his mother Mary. Mary experienced, I think, a parent's worst nightmare. Not only to see your child suffer, but to outlive him. There's pain on Good Friday, but we still call it Good Friday. Why? I got some insight from a Greek Orthodox friend of mine I did a wedding with. It was around Easter, and he said, Good Friday is Kali Anastasi. Kali Anastasi. Isn't that neat? Good Resurrection. And it's not on Easter Sunday, but it's on Good Friday. They anticipate the resurrection. Here's the miracle. God took the worst the world could do to Jesus and made it a good. A Good Friday reveals the reality of sin. And then Easter Sunday cancels the power of sin. Paul wrote that though Jesus was in the form of God, he emptied himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's Kali Anastasi, Good Resurrection. And at Easter, hope is resurrected. Mother named Mary sees her son again. Life beyond the grave is true. Kali Anastasi, the disciple Peter betrays the Lord and then gets forgiven. I think Judas would have been forgiven too. Jesus understood. If only. And how many people out there who've given up on themselves? And they don't think there's any room for grace for them. And folks, if that doesn't make you weep, see, everybody gets God's grace. And the only ones who don't have it are those who don't take it. And how sad is that? The choirs across the land today are singing beautiful songs about the palms. One of my favorites is John Rutter's Requiem. You all know that one. You know that one, don't you?
It's a Palm Sunday piece. It's the joyful moment in the Requiem, but immediately following it comes the anguish. The rumbling tone in the midst of life, we are in death, we are in death, we are in death. It's chilling, it's real, but is there anything more real than that? It's linked to Easter, but Paul said it well. God exalted Jesus and gave him the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bend and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Defeat into victory. Death does not have the last word. God will prevail. Kali Anastasi. And in the Rudder Requiem, when the men are done singing, we are in death, the women begin to sing, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall live, even though he die. Amen. Kali Anastasi. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this Palm Passion Sunday. A celebration, a time for reflection, a recognition, God, that your grace prevails, that your love endures, and that life conquers death. We praise you, we thank you, we love you, we serve you. Send us forth now into the world so that the world may know of the love of Christ and God's grace for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.